A man by the name of Dr. Walter Wilson was visiting New York City years ago on business. And he had prayed that day, he said, "Lord, send me to someone I can help today." And so he was walking down the street in busy New York City, and he came to a window, and there he saw this nice little booklet that was in the window, and he was looking for a prayer book. That is a book where he could write down his prayer requests and write down the answers to prayer that the Lord gave when he prayed. So he thought, well, I'm going to go in and I'm going to ask about this prayer book. He walked in, and the man who was the owner, the proprietor there, was a little German man. And he walked in and he said, "I saw this little book in your window and I'd like to inquire about that book." And so the proprietor went to the window, got that little book, and he looked through it. Dr. Wilson did, and he said, "This is exactly what I need." And he remembered that he had asked the Lord to give him an opportunity to witness that day. So as he was checking out, he said to that German proprietor, he says, "Do you know what I'm going to do with that book?" And the man said, "Well, no, I don't know. I suppose you're going to give it as a gift to someone." He said, "No, that is a prayer book, and I'm going to record my prayers in there that I'm asking the Lord, and then I'm going to record the answers to them." And he said the man came around the counter with that book, set it on the counter, and took him by the lapels and looked up at him. And with tears coming down his eyes, he said this, "Can you get to God?" He said, "Mister, I have tried to find God for many years. I have gone around Manhattan. I have gone to Brooklyn. I've gone to the Bronx, night after night, attending service after service, but I've always failed to find God. Can you tell me how to get to Him?" And Dr. Wilson said, "Yes. That is my principal business in life." Folks, this morning, perhaps you have tried to get to God without going to Him through Jesus Christ. And that's what Dr. Wilson told this little German man. He said this, "If you will come to Jesus Christ, He will bring you to God." He said he then opened his Bible and read to him the passage we're going to look at this morning. He took him to John chapter 14 and verse 6, where the Bible says this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, I know that some may have not have brought your Bibles this morning, and here's what I'd like to do. I'd like you to memorize this verse with me, will you please? It's a very simple verse, but I'd like you to leave today knowing this verse by heart. And so I'm going to say it again, and then I'd like everybody to repeat it with me. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Would you say that with me, please? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, to memorize something, you really need to repeat it more than once. So let's say that again. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Let's say it one more time. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If you don't leave with anything else this morning, I trust you will leave with that in your mind and in your heart. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Ladies and gentlemen, from the beginning of time, man has come up with his own ideas on how to get to God. Men would like to know, how can I get to God? And everything but Bible Christianity can be summed up in one hyphenated word. Because here's how man thinks he can get to God. Self-effort. Oh, perhaps if I just do, and then he fills in the blank with something that he can do. Men around this world today are trying to get to God. You'll see shrines that are built. You'll see people bowing toward a certain city. You will see so many things that man does trying to get to God. How do I get to God? And they're just like that German man, going from service to service and going from place to place, trying to figure out, how can I get to God? Because down in the deep in every man's heart, he's searching. He wants to know. If you know anything about the Bible, there is this that took place close after the flood of Noah. Men began to build this city called the Tower of Babel. And here's why they built this city. They said, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. If man today could do it, he would build a tower and he would build it until he could get to heaven by walking up those steps. But folks, that's not how you get to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You cannot do anything on your own to get to God or to get to heaven. Every religion in the world is another version of self-effort by man to get to God. And so I take you to this most offensive verse in the Bible, because it's exclusionary. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. Would you say that verse with me again? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's found in the Bible in John chapter 14 and verse 6. So how can you get to God? There may be somebody under the sound of my voice this morning saying, oh, I wish I could get to God. You know what? I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. This is what is called the gospel. This is what is called the good news. You can get to God. How? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Here's the first thing I want you to see, and we're just going to look at John 14, 6. It's Jesus' claim. Jesus has this claim, and here's the first thing he says, I am the way. Now, let me do something with this verse, not trying to be sacrilegious, but to get us to think. Suppose I would say, quoting John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am a way. What did I just change, folks? I change it from the to a. A way says, well, I'm one of many. There's many other ways you can get to God. But Jesus said, I am the way. That is exclusionary. Jesus is clearly indicating that there is no other way. He is the way. Now, when you look at Jesus' statement, going back to verse 4, I'm going to read verse 4. Jesus said to his disciples, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. You see, Jesus is about to go to the cross to die for man's sin, be resurrected from the dead, and then he will ascend to heaven. And there he is telling his disciples, whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And so Jesus' statement is, you know the way. He had clearly indicated where he was going in verse 2. In verse 2, he said this, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Where is Jesus going to go? He's going to heaven. Where is Jesus Christ today? Many would say he's in some tomb in the Middle East. Not so. More than 500 witnesses saw him after he rose from the dead, and they said, Jesus is alive. We've seen him with our own eyes. And then his disciples went with him to the Mount of Olivet, and they saw him as he ascended into heaven. And that's where he is at this very moment. Jesus is in heaven, and he told his disciples, you know where I'm going. I'm going back to heaven. That was Jesus' statement in verse 4. But then we see, secondly, Thomas's question in verse 5. Here's what Thomas, one of his disciples, asks him. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? Lord, we don't know where you're going. Now, if you don't know where Jesus is going, how can you know the way? It's like me saying to you, hey, I'll meet you for lunch this Friday. You know where we're going. Okay? Wait a minute. You would be asking, no, wait. I don't know where you're going. How can I know the way unless I know the where? Because the where is going to tell me something about the way to get there. By the way, the word way can also be translated road. What road do I take? Here's what people will tell you today. There are so many roads to heaven. Remember, that word way can be translated road. Jesus said, I am the road. I am the road. But Jesus had told his disciples where he was going. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, he says in verse 3, I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also. Here's what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. He says, we wait for Jesus Christ who is coming from heaven. We wait for his Son from heaven. So Jesus' statement, you know the way. Thomas's question, how can we know the way? And then we get to the part where we really want to get to is Jesus' revelation. I am the way. Jesus is the way. Now the word the is called an article, which means this is absolute. This is exclusive. Jesus is the way. By the way, Jesus said, I am the way. Ladies and gentlemen, you do not get to heaven by way of some kind of a force. The force. You don't get to heaven by some creed. You get to heaven through a person. Jesus said, I am the way. Notice Jesus does not merely show the way. Jesus does not simply explain the way. How much better when somebody drives up to the church during the week like somebody did recently and they said, could you please tell me how to get to such and such? And because Greeley is so nicely laid out, I simply explained it to them. No, seriously, because it is so nicely laid out. And I said, here's how you go. You go here, light, and then how much better would it have been, folks, if I would have been able to say, you know what? I'll take you there. Now all of a sudden, I become the way. Now all of a sudden, rather than just me telling you how to get there, I become the way to get you there. And Jesus is not just showing the way. He's not just explaining the way. He is the way. He doesn't just give directions to his Father's house. He carries us there. This is why death for a believer is such a glorious experience. Because it's not just, well, what happens to me? We know what happens. Jesus says, I am the way. Satan is convincing this world that there are many roads. I've had people explain it to me this way when I've talked to people. Well, here's how you get to heaven. It's like we're all at the base of a mountain and we can all fit around at the base of this mountain, but everybody knows that a mountain has a peak. And we're all, you may be on this side of the mountain, you may be on this side of the mountain, you may be on this side of the mountain, I'm on this side of the mountain. But guess what? As long as we're walking up this mountain, guess where we're all going to end up, folks? Now that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? That sounds like, wow, that is profound. But there's a problem with it. It's not biblical. It's not biblical. There are not many ways. I repeat again, Jesus said, I am the way. So as we memorize this verse together, let's just say that first part. I am the way. Let's say it again. I am the way. Who said it out loud, please? Jesus said that. I am the way. And by the way, it's kind of interesting we say, by the way, when we're talking about the way. But when we talk about the way, and you look at the word I, in the original language, that word I means I myself. I is emphasized. I, myself, am the way. Jesus doesn't just show the way, he is the way. And no preacher can be the way. He can show you the way. Folks, I am not the way. A priest is not the way. No man is the way, but the man, Jesus Christ. A father shows his child how to climb over the wall, but the child's unable to climb over the wall. How much different, ladies and gentlemen, when the father becomes the way for the child to climb over the wall. He allows the child to put his foot in his hands, then upon his shoulder, and then he's able to go over the wall. You see, the child must depend upon the father as the way to get over the wall. And if you're going to trust, if you're going to get to heaven, you must trust Jesus Christ, because he said, I am the way. I am the way. Now, you've got the verse memorized a little bit, don't you? I am the way. What's the next two words? The truth. So here's the second thing. Jesus said, I am the truth. It reads this way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There are ands between each one of those. It literally reads this way, I am the way and the truth and the life. And anytime in the Bible you see some words in there where there's more than one and, the Bible is asking us to stop and to consider every little statement. And that's why I am stopping and saying, Jesus said, I am the way, and we spent some time on that. But then he said, and I am the truth. Jesus is the truth. Notice he didn't say, I am a truth. I am the truth. It is absolute. It is exclusive. You may know the facts of science, folks, but you do not know the truth unless you know Jesus Christ. You may know the facts of math, but you do not know the truth unless you know Jesus Christ. You may know the facts of history, but you do not know the truth unless you know Jesus Christ, because he said, I am the truth. Not only is Jesus the way to God, he is the very truth of God. He is God revealed to us. God has not revealed his truth in any other way. There is no other person. People ask the question, well, can I know the truth without knowing Jesus Christ? And according to Jesus, he said, no, I am the truth. You cannot know the truth outside of Jesus Christ. You cannot know the truth by some other man, no matter how good that man may appear to be to you. But the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So even that other man who may claim to be the truth is merely a man. He's a sinner like you are. Jesus Christ was without sin. He's a man unlike any other. And that's why he can say, I am the way. I am the truth. God has not revealed his truth any other way. No other person, no other book. No other book. He said, well, I've got this book that tells me something. It's got, you know, these principles about how I can live and how I can reform my life and I can really be something. That may help you temporarily in this life, but it doesn't tell you how to get to heaven. Jesus here is not merely speaking the truth, folks. Let's get this straight. He is the truth. He is the truth. Not only is he the way who carries us to God, he is the truth who reveals God to us. You and I are only capable of speaking the truth, but none of us can say, I am the truth. Without Jesus, you cannot know God. He's the very word of God. You'll read this in the same book, chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, and the word, Jesus Christ, became flesh. Because Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. If you think about Christmas time and you think about the word Emmanuel, and we sing all these Christmas songs and we may not know what we're singing, but it says his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus Christ is God. He is the truth. How does Jesus Christ, who is the truth, reveal himself to us so that we might know the truth? Jesus says this in John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What I have in my hands here this morning is God's truth. This is the truth of God. God has revealed it to us through his word. I am the way, the truth. We can say it that far, can't we? Let's repeat that. I am the way, the truth. Okay, so I know. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth. But now let's get to the third one. Jesus saith unto him, repeat it with me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The life. Again, you've got that article before the word life. I am the life. I am the life. This is absolute. This is exclusive. There is no other way. There is no other truth. There is no other life other than through Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is the way to God, the truth of God revealed to us. And here, he is the life of God communicated to us. He does not merely provide life-giving water. He is the water of life. He doesn't merely give bread to men to eat. He is the bread of life. You may not be familiar with some of the stories of Jesus as he walked on this earth almost 2,000 years ago. But as he walked upon this earth, he healed many people. He performed many miracles. And one of the miracles he performed is that he was able to take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feed 5,000 men with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. We estimate about 15,000 people. Now, we're not going to see any multiplication of food this morning after the service. But when Jesus did that, he showed to men that he is the Son of God. What do you think people did after that? They followed him around. What did they want? They wanted more physical food. Hey, if you can find free food somewhere, what are you going to do? You're going to try to go find that food. You're going to follow the one who gives you the food. Jesus refused to do it again at that moment. There was another time in a different place, different group of people, he fed 4,000. But at the end of that miracle in John chapter 6, when people were looking for him, he said, you're looking for more food. And that's when he says this, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that food which endureth unto everlasting life. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I am the bread. I'm the bread. He's the one who gives life. In John chapter 4, he's talking to a woman at the well. And he says to this woman, woman, would you give me some water to drink? And she says, well, I have no way to get the water. And he says, well, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Woman, do you understand something? I'm the water of life. And so when you read John 14, 6, and it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, you'll understand something, that he is the one who sustains everything. Most either think that when I die, that ends everything, or that it is simply a transition into the unknown. Romans 6, 23 teaches that after physical death, you will experience one of two. Death, which is the second death, everlasting punishment, or life, which is eternal life, everlasting life. One of the two. There are two destinations that Jesus talks about. It's heaven or it's hell. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The life is eternal life because it never ends. It never ends. I was talking to a man one day in the gym. And this man had found out that he has cancer. So I began to talk to him. I began to witness to him. And as I was talking to this man, and I was talking to him about eternal life, he said, you know what? I don't want eternal life. He says, can you imagine going for all eternity in a body like this? And I said, oh, no, you've got something wrong here. Listen just a moment. Eternal life is not in this present body. I mean, how many of you would like to go for all eternity in a body you're possessing right now? With all its aches and pains. He had a misconception of what eternal life was. And I took him to 1 John 3:2, and it says, when we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The promise is, I'm not going to have these aches and pains in heaven. This is all going to be gone. I'm going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. With that thought in mind, I'd like to direct your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And if you don't have your Bible, listen closely, because here's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, let me put that in more up-to-date language. Every one of you lives in a tabernacle. It's called your body. It's your flesh. It's, you can see, you're in your tabernacle. The word tabernacle is a tent. Everybody lives in a fleshly tent. But everybody also knows that nobody wants to live in a tent all the time. I would rather go home to my house. When I go camping in the mountains, I take a tent. But it's so good to come home and get into a house. The Bible calls what you live in a tent. Why? Because what you live in right now is temporary. We know that if our earthly house of this tent were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the truth. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the body you have right now, you groan in it. And the older I get, the more I groan. It's a body full of infirmities. But what I just read to you there says, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. I have a house from heaven. It's a new body. It's not this old body. And I look out here and I see all the aches and the pains and the people who have prayed, you know, pray for me. I'm suffering. I've got cancer. I've got this. I've got that. We have the promise that when I see God, he shall wipe away all tears. There shall be no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow. All the former things are passed away. Revelation 21:4. I'll have a new body. I am the life. I am the life, Jesus said. That answers the question, which religion is right? You may be here this morning saying, oh, this is a Baptist church. Well, they probably believe such and such. You know what? Let's forget denominations for a moment. Let's just look at the Bible. What does the Bible say? Which religion is right? How do you know your religion is the right religion? For most people, they think their religion is right because they get this emotional high. Man, I went to church. Man, I had a great time. That was exciting. In other words, you're full of life when you're around other people who seem to be lively. Oh, I went to a meeting and it was exciting and I felt good after that meeting. Yeah, and then what happens on Monday? When you come down from that emotional high, and it's like a roller coaster, you come down and you slam into the bottom. And you may have had some kind of an emotional high on Sunday because people were excited and doing all kinds of crazy things. But then the next day, what is it? See, for the believer, life is in Jesus Christ. I don't have to generate life. I can't. But I'll tell you something, I have been regenerated. No angel ever used words like these. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No prophet, no teacher, no apostle. These are the words of Jesus Christ, of one who knows that he himself is God. There's Jesus' claim. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now let's look at his conclusion. And this is what he says in the last part of that verse. No man cometh unto the Father. Since Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, he is the essence of eternal life. No man cometh unto the Father. What is eternal life? Eternal life, according to Jesus in John 17:3, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Here's what eternal life is, folks. It's to know God. How do I get to God? Through Jesus Christ. Jesus has been talking about his Father's house in the verses prior to this one in verse 6. How can a man go there? Isn't that the goal of all religions? How do I get to heaven? How do I get to God? How do I have peace with God? How can I have reconciliation with God? That's in the heart of every man. Here's the truth. Every one of you will have to live somewhere for all eternity. Where will you be in eternity? The essence of eternal life is Jesus Christ, is knowing God. The exclusivity of eternal life, no man. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let me repeat that. No man. There was a Hindu leader who once told a missionary in India, you know what? We don't mind if you Christians talk about Jesus' moral teachings, but do not say that he's the only way to salvation. And the missionary's response had to be, he is the only way. I can teach no other thing. He is the only way. And it's interesting. Strong ancient testimony suggests that Thomas died for his Savior at the hands of Hindus who hated the message of Jesus Christ. This is offensively exclusive. And you may be offended this morning. I plead with you, if you're offended by this, that you don't take these as my words. These are the very words of Jesus Christ. He's the one who said, not me, no man. No man comes to the Father but by me. You may say, well, that's arrogant when you say something like that. I want to correct you again. I didn't say it. Jesus Christ did. Do I believe it with all my heart? My prayer is that you too will believe it with all of your heart. No man comes unto the Father but by me. It doesn't matter how clever a man is. It doesn't matter how intelligent, how gifted, how charitable, how kind, how sincere in his religion, how sacrificial, who his parents are, how diligent you are. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Ladies and gentlemen, we're all on the same level. I'm only on this elevated platform so you can see me. I'm not any higher than you are. I'm a sinner just like you, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. And then we see the entrance of eternal life. It's those three words, but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. Last three words, please. But by me. Would you say that again, please? But by me. Who said that? Jesus said it, not me. But by me. The Bible talks about two roads. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 7. He says this, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Sin, your sin and mine, is an offense to a holy God. There's a great chasm between you and God this morning. But the way has been provided to God. It is the way because it is the only way. Jesus said, but through me, or but by me. Jesus Christ is the only bridge between earth and heaven. The only bridge to God. Man tries to build a bridge of his own. He tries to build the bridge of resolutions. He tries to build the bridge of resolve, the bridge of religion, the bridge of prayers, the bridge of sincerity, the bridge of self-effort. But nothing can get you to God, folks, but Jesus Christ. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. I go on to read verse 7. Jesus says, "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and henceforth ye know him and have seen him." So verse 7 is the same idea of the last part of verse 6. Knowing Jesus Christ is knowing the Father. They're one and the same. The disciples, in looking at Jesus Christ, are seeing God in the flesh. How foolish, how satanic, the notion that it doesn't matter what a man believes. It does matter what you believe. It does matter. How foolish, how satanic that all religions lead to God if I'm only sincere. How satanic, how foolish for everybody to say we're all the children of God. We are not all children of God. Jesus said in John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, that as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Only those who have received Jesus Christ are his children. God is a father to none but to those who believe in Christ and who come to him through his son, Jesus Christ. Man knows there has got to be a way to get to God like that German man knew. But Jesus says, "I am the way." Man thinks that out of all the religions in the world, one of them or a combination thereof have to have some truth in it. But Jesus says, "I am the truth." Man knows he will die one day. Down deep he knows that death does not end at all. But Jesus says, "I am the life." You cannot get to heaven if you do not know the way with a capital W. You cannot get to heaven unless you know the truth with a capital T. You cannot get to heaven unless you know the life with a capital L. You must know the person who is the way, the truth, and the life. Ladies and gentlemen, it is more than knowing a prayer. It is knowing the person who said, "I myself am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me."